Igby Goes Down is a new comedy about the emotionally messy life of an alienated teenager played by Kieran Culkin. Susan Sarandon stars as his mother. It's the debut film of writer and director Burr Steers. Film critic David Edelstein says it's a film not to be missed.
One of the worst things about going to American movies in the 1980s, before the rise of independent cinema, was that studios insisted on heroes who were likable. Studio heads would say, "I don't care about this guy. He's a jerk. We need to see him pet a dog." One mogul refused to greenlight the remake of The Fly because he didn't think an audience would accept a hero who was also a villain. His words. "I'm delighted that this era is over. And not only because I can relate more easily to jerks. It's that some heroes can demonstrate their vulnerability and even their essential goodness through anger. Jerks have to work a lot harder than nice guys. The biggest jerk in movies right now is the hero of Igby Goes Down. He's also the most vulnerable. He might even be the most likable, although maybe not if you actually met him and he called you an idiot. In the first scene of the movie, the teenage Igby, who's played by Kieran Culkin, watches stone-faced as his mother, played by Susan Sarandon, doesn't die from a dose of poison. Then he watches with equal impassiveness when his older brother, played by Ryan Phillippe, slips a plastic bag over her head. We don't yet know whether they've murdered her or assisted in some kind of suicide. But in either case, it's a scene of primal horror, a mystery to be penetrated in a movie that's a long, grueling flashback. Did I mention that Igby Goes Down as a comedy? It is, and not a flip black comedy in which loss has no sting, but a wrenching, tumultuous, emotionally chaotic comedy, a comedy in which grief is expressed in rage. The first-time writer-director, Burr Steers, has given us a teenage hero who knows only what he hates. He hates his rich and narcissistic mother. It gives him pleasure to frustrate her monumental will. He flunks out of school after school. He runs away and hides with Manhattan bohemians. He seems to blame her for the insanity of his absent dad, played by Bill Pullman, who shows up in his dreams like a wreck out of F. Scott Fitzgerald. He hates his unctuous preppy brother, an honor student at Columbia, who seems almost incestuously in league with his mother. He hates his vastly wealthy godfather, D.H., played by Jeff Goldblum, a cold snob who takes a strange interest in his upbringing. At a cocktail party at D.H.'s beach house in the Hamptons, Igby meets a young woman he might actually like, a cool misfit named Suki, played by Claire Danes. The actress is all grown up here and alluringly self-contained. It's promising, but the encounter is polluted by the arrival of Igby's brother.
"I'm Oliver, and this is my little brother, Igby."
"What kind of a name is Igby?"
"It's the kind of a name that someone named Suki is in no position to question."
"Suki? Suki, where do you go to school?"
"Bennington."
"Ollie's majoring in neo-fascism at Columbia."
"Economics."
"Semantics."
"What's your major?"
"Attitude."
"I've got to get back to the bar."
"That's where I'm headed."
"Oh. Catch you kids later."
There's a long line of movies about dysfunctional kids and their heartless mothers. The modern template is ordinary people. But unlike them, Igby Goes Down doesn't feel like the product of psychoanalysis. Its hero's despair hasn't been diagrammed, or his rebelliousness turned into a metaphor. The movie hasn't been designed to make his callow narcissism seem a state of grace, as it is in Wes Anderson's Rushmore, whatever that movie's charms. Igby's journey is haphazard and messy. The movie is built on one emotional dissonance after another. Kieran Culkin's face is a mask of sneering sophistication, but we can see that it's a mask. We can even glimpse on occasion the face of the lonely and frightened child underneath. Igby has grown up with people who don't know how to express their love, and so this smart mouth provokes them in lieu of asking for what he really needs. He gets hit, too. He gets slugged a couple of times by a therapist, which shocks him and us. He gets cuffed by a beautiful and damaged young artist played by Amanda Peet, at whose loft he's been hiding. He gets beaten up by his godfather, who finds out Igby's been sleeping with his mistress. And those are just the physical blows. The other ones, from his mom and his sometime girlfriend, draw even more blood. And still he goads them, needing only a response. The way this movie goads us, with its scenes that sometimes go on too long, its sudden cruelties, its great actors who hit unpleasant notes they've never hit on screen before. Igby Goes Down got a reaction from me. I squirmed. I laughed a lot. I thought about how cursed this boy was by his enraged sense of entitlement. And I thought I was watching the movie of the year.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Jazz pianist Dodo Marmarosa died earlier this month in his hometown of Pittsburgh. He was 76. Early in his career, Dodo Marmarosa played with Gene Krupa, Tommy Dorsey, and Artie Shaw. In the mid-40s, he played with Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. Soon after that, he dropped out of the music scene. Let's close with the Charlie Parker Septet, with Dodo Marmarosa on piano, recorded in 1946. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and by Aveda, maker of sustainably sourced hair, body, and lifestyle products, and proud supporter of NPR's environmental coverage. Information at aveda.com. This is NPR, National Public Radio.